Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Just got through with Thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You know, one of the first signs of apostasy and one of the first signs of getting away from the Lord, one of the first signs of departure with the Lord, and I preached about last week about the tragedy at the Southern Baptist Church and the departure of the Lord. We look at Romans chapter 1, and it says this in Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. When we get away from being thankful to the Lord, we're in trouble. We ought to be thankful for God. You know, Thanksgiving is normally a holiday, what we call a holiday. And the word holiday, it literally means a holy day. And it's a Bible term. Every day to you and I ought to be a holy day of thanksgiving to the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the great verse, one of the greatest verses in the Bible. I imagine everybody here knows it by heart. I would hope so. It's a common verse. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and it says this: in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's a common verse in the Bible. It's one of the first verses that most Christians memorize. I'm sure most people in this church have that verse memorized. It's a great verse. It's only 17 words is all it is in the verse. Nearly every word in it, Miss Tara, is just a one-syllable word. I mean, it's so simple, it's unbelievable. It is kind of one of those verses we read, you know, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, and my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in Christ Jesus. I mean, it's kind of Romans 8:28. I mean, it's kind of eye candy sometimes. It is kind of the precious and exceedingly great and precious promises and all that. But like most verses in the Bible, once you start digging a little bit deeper, there's some meat in there. And once you start studying the book and studying the verse and start digging a little bit deeper, I mean, it's kind of like when you first start getting some of these verses, Brother Chris, I start looking at them, I go, man,
amen.
Man, that's some dynamite.
Yeah.
You dig a little bit more and you go, whoa, that's a nuclear bomb right there, brother. And after a while, it's kind of like my little old 2-year-old grandson. He's a genius, that kid. That kid's amazing, man. He knows all his colors. I bet you don't know all your colors. He knows all animals, Brother Jim. I bet most of you don't know what a water buffalo is. He does. I got on the internet. We go through them. He knows them all. And he'll get something. I got him some animals, you know, and he threw them out on the ground. And he goes, wow. Wow is one of his words. You know, when I get hold of some of those verses, Brother Chris is kind of like my grandson. I got studying and reading after a while. I go, wow, man, there's something in that verse. And I will give you a few things about this verse this morning. And the Bible has a lot of wonderful verses. And a lot of these verses are easy to memorize. But they're hard to exercise and energize. I mean, these verses, Miss Liz, they're easy to claim, but boy, they're hard to climb on sometimes. They're easy to grab hold of, brother, but I'm going to tell you, it takes a lot. Sometimes these verses, they call it the mountain peaks of scriptures, you know, and some of these verses, brother, I'm telling you, you got to do some climbing to get on some of them. And this is one of them, and I want to give you a little message in everything. Give thanks. I'm going to ask Brother Chris to take us to the Lord before the message.
Heavenly Father, we come to you again this morning, God. We thank you, God, for this opportunity to be here this morning, God. We thank you for everything you've done for us, God. And I thank you for what you've already done.
Amen, amen.
God, thanks for your Spirit, God.
Amen.
And to this earth, God. We just pray, God, you work in our hearts today, God. And we pray, God, speak to us today, God. God, as we were looking in and sitting.
Yes, it was.
Father, we pray, God, we be obedient, God, to your Spirit.
Amen, amen.
What you tell us to do, God, if there's anything that's wrong in our life, Father. We pray, God, today, God, we just get things right with you, God, for
amen.
Pray, God, we pray, God, for anybody that might be saved today, we pray you'll touch them, God. Pray for our families and loved ones today. Pray you'll touch them, God. Pray for Brother Terry, you'll help him.
Yes,
God,
Lord.
God, we open up the scriptures, God, and we'll thank you for everything you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And I'm just going to expound a little bit on this verse this morning. I'm going to give you a few things about it. I want to say the first thing. And notice the first word in that verse. Notice what it says. It's the first word. It says in. In everything give thanks. There's the situation, the first thing I see. You know, the Bible said, in everything give thanks. It doesn't mean when everything is over. It doesn't mean when the pain's gone. It doesn't mean when the Percocet kicks in. It doesn't mean when the Norphine kicks in. It doesn't mean when the pump's fixed. It doesn't mean when the tree's been cut and the power's back on. It means right in the thick and the dark shadows, it said, in everything give thanks. One little two-letter word changes the whole verse. It doesn't say for everything give thanks. It doesn't say because of everything give thanks. It said in everything give thanks. When it's in that deep, dark valley, in the darkest hour, Brother Jeff, it's when the cramps grab hold and you can't move your leg and you're screaming in pain. God said, in that time, give thanks.
Yeah.
It's when your wife's in the emergency room and you don't know if she's going to survive or not. It's at that time, the Bible said, in everything, give thanks. Not when it's over, not when the doctor's exam, but it means right then, in everything, give thanks. In the situation, the Bible's clear, that two little words, it changes everything. It's like Brother Buck, when he's laying there in the emergency room, laying on the floor that time, y'all remember that? And he's laying there on the emergency room on the floor, can't get up. And the police comes over to Miss Frieda and says, is he okay? And she said, well, I think he's still alive. That's what she said. I mean, you know, during that time, in that time, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. No matter what the situation, during the darkest times, that's the time we give thanks. You know, it's while we're in the storm, where we're in the valley, that's when the Lord becomes the sweetest. That song Miss Liz sings. Life is easy when you're up on a mountain. And you got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone. Where it says this, listen to the words. For the God on the mountain is God I-N. In the valley. Not when you're through it. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. For the God of the good times is the God that is I-N in the bad time. Brother, when the things are darkest and it's deepest, my friend, when the storm howls them both, that's when it said, in everything, give thanks.
Yeah.
You know, nobody can write that but the Lord.
Amen.
No man could write something like that. I got news for you. I didn't write that, and I wouldn't write that. There's no way I could write something like that. God is the only one that said, in everything, give thanks. No matter how dark it is, no matter how dark the valley, no matter how deep it is, how dark the night, whatever is going on, God knows the finished product. He knows how it's going to end. He knows what the painting will look through. And that's why God can say, in everything, give thanks. There's a situation. While you're in the situation, the second thing I want to look at in that verse, notice what it says. In everything, give thanks. There's the scope. It goes from the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know what I found out? We was talking this morning about how quick life goes past you. The older you get, it seems like the quicker it goes. Y'all notice that? And the older you get, you notice what I've noticed? The harder it is to do anything, Miss Debbie. I mean, it's hard for me to drive to Pensacola. I was thinking, coming back. We was coming back, man, I was wore out, you know. And man, I'm just, you know, my wife said, you okay? I'm okay, you know. And when I was coming back, I was thinking, man, when my kids were in college, you know what I used to do, Brother Zito? I'd get up, Brother Chris, many times. I'd get up Saturday morning and drive all the way to Pensacola, Miss Debbie. And I'd go to the college where they were at, Brother Jeff. And I'd have the car running, and they'd get in the car, and I'd drive right back. And then the next day, Sunday morning, Jeff, I'd drive them back down there, drop them off, turn around, and drive right back. Right now, just getting down there, I'm... I told my wife, when I got home, I said, I got to lay down. Everything's getting harder. But the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. Sometimes it's hard, Miss Samantha. But that's what the Bible says. There's the scope in everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. A lot of life's ugly, by the way. A lot of life's broken pumps. A lot of life's $876 car front end fixes, and I still don't think it's working right. I went by and saw the guy, you know, and told him he had fixed it 3 years ago. And so I got a call. I didn't think anything. He said, well, let me check into it, Mr. Watkins. And I said, look, I'm retired. I don't have a whole lot of money. I don't have the money I used to have. I said, if you work out something, let me check into it. And I got a call coming home yesterday from Pensacola. They said, we got $100-something credit coming to you. That's the Lord. That's better than nothing. She'll pay $800. But you know, that's the way. I just said, praise the Lord when the girl called. I said, well, praise the Lord. Thank you very much. I'll take it. Take it on everything you got, man. Amen. But you know, a lot of life's that way. And the Bible said, in everything, give thanks.
Amen.
Sometimes it's not smoked turkey. Sometimes it's peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not a feast.
Amen.
It's a fast.
Amen.
Sometimes it's not Romans. It's leftovers. Like a little boy one time, there were at the Thanksgiving dinner table and they asked him to pray. He was about 5 or 6 years old, pray before the meal. And he got praying. He said, Lord, thank you for Mama and Daddy and Uncle Bob and Aunt Mary and going through the list. And he said, Lord, thank you for the turkey and thank you for the dressing and thank you for the cranberry and thank you for the apple pie. And then he stops a minute and looks over, whispers to his mom. He said, do you think God will know if I'm lying if I tell him I'm thanking for the broccoli? You know, sometimes, Brother Chris, you just got to suck it up and thank him for the broccoli. Amen. I like broccoli if it's cooked right. But brother, it just sometimes in life, in everything, there's a scope. Everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Like a man one time, I heard he was on the plane. He was up in years. And him and his wife was traveling. And he's sitting on the plane. And he's sitting there, Brother Jeff, just, you know, sitting there. And the stewardess comes up to him and she said, Mr. Jones, she said, I hate to tell you this, but your wife didn't get on the plane back here in Chicago. And he goes, thank God, I thought I'd gone deaf. Hey, and everything gives thanks. Like a little girl one time, she is praying, and she said, dear God, thank you for my baby brother, but Lord, you remember, I prayed for a puppy. Baby puppies are okay, and said Sarah Lee. Sarah Lee, I got her a puppy for her birthday. She wanted a hush puppy from Cat and D's is what she wanted. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Hey, Brother Brian, you don't know what's heading on the way, but the Bible said you're in a situation while you're in it. There's the scope in everything. Give thanks. A lot of times that's not easy, is it? You heard that joke about those two men one time. They're taking a shortcut across the field. Two guys, and they're taking a shortcut across the field. Brother Alonzo, they look behind them, and here comes a big bull. I'm not good at bull impersonations. But that bull running behind them, and they're running. And one of them looks at him and he said, John, he's catching on us. Pray something. Pray. He said, I don't know how to pray. He said, pray something. He said, all I know is that prayer my daddy used to say, Lord, let us be thankful for what we're about to receive. Sometimes, Miss Samantha, that's all you can do. That's all you can do. But it said, in everything give thanks. There's a scope. Everything give thanks. Because there's a lot of light, my friend. Sometimes, in fact, most of the time, you're not on the mountain. You're down in the valley. You get up and your power's out. And there's a tree across the road. Hard to give thanks, isn't it? But the Bible said, in everything give thanks. We got up ready to go to Pensacola. And we got up and the cable's out. The internet's out. And I didn't know if a tree fell on the line or whatever ever happened. I thought, man, I got to get that thing hooked up before I get back. I'm going over to Brother Zito's and watch the game. I was trying to figure out where I could go. And it turned out somebody cut the fiber optic over by Walmart and is out for a day and a half. But in everything, give thanks. There's a scope. Take your Bible, turn over to Acts chapter 20. Get Acts chapter 20. And turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And there's a situation. Why you're in the middle of it? When things are going bad, the Bible said, in everything there's a scope. All of it covers it all. In everything, give thanks. Acts chapter 20, here's Apostle Paul talking. Acts chapter 20, verse 22. Paul was a pretty tough little dude. He wasn't even 5 feet tall, they say. Acts 20, 22, he says this, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Bonds and afflictions, that's jail and being beaten, that's what that is. But none of these things move me. Paul said, big deal. I'm not worried about that stuff. None of these things move me, neither count of my life dear to myself, that I might finish my course with joy. Look over 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Oh, the pretty tough little man. And the Bible said, he said, I know whom I believed in and am persuaded he's able to keep this which I've committed unto him. Look over 2 Corinthians 11, verse 25. Verse 24, 2 Corinthians 11, 24. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 5 times they were beaten, 39 times. Thrice, 3 times was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. But remember he said, none of these things move me. Big deal. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul was a tough little dude. But something moved him. Something got under his skin. I mean, all that he went through. He said, none of that bothers me. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he had something bothering him. Look what he said, verse 7. Lest I should be exalted, 2 Corinthians 12, 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure. The abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me. That's not a buffet. Southern people eat that big deal. Satan gave him a buffet to go eat. That's old English. That's buffet. That means to hit him with his fist violently. That's what that means. Not a buffet. To buffet me, that I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Remember over there, he said, none of this stuff bothers me. But boy, there was something given to him, brother, that he sought the Lord thrice and he could get away from it. But when he got through, he said unto him, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul says this, most gladly, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasures in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distress for Christ's sake. Hey man, in everything give thanks. That's what Paul was saying. He said, most gladly, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities. Most gladly, he said, I'll take it. You know what that is? In everything, give thanks. You know, you can give thanks a lot of times. Because you can just think sometimes, if you be honest with you, it could be a whole lot worse. You could be like that woman in New Jersey 3 hours sitting in a septic tank. That wouldn't be too good. I mean, Doug and Carol's pumps out, and they go, I got to go behind the bushes. Brother Brian, or go over to your house. But bless God, at least they're not sitting in a septic tank this morning. I mean, it could be a whole lot worse this morning, and whatever you go through, sometimes you just say, well, thank God, it's not as bad as it could be. My mother-in-law, bless her heart, when she was alive, that lady was the most positive person I've ever met in my life. She never had a bad day. That lady was unbelievable. Clean up, man. My wife was in the hospital one time. And man, I'd get my coffee cup and I'd be sitting there at the table and drank a couple of sips and I'd sit down and I'd turn my head. Where'd my cup go? She'd have put it in the washing machine. I said, I'm not through with that. I go in my room, all my shoes are classified alphabetically, I think, going through there. Unbelievable. I mean, soon as something moved in the house, she was over on it. I remember one time, you know, up north, they got snow and sleet and all that junk. And I remember years ago, we had talked to her brother, Tim. And I was talking to Tim, you know, and I said, "What's the weather like, Tim?" He said, "Oh, it's awful up here." He said, "It's snowing and it's raining and everything's iced over. We can't get out." He said, "We're just miserable." And I called, talked to her mother a little bit later, and I said, "I heard the weather's awful up there." She said, "Oh, honey, it's beautiful up here. It's beautiful. Everything's beautiful." That's the way she was, and everything, give thanks. Like a preacher I heard one time, his name was Alexander White. He was an old Scottish preacher, and he was known for always uplifting and positive. And it was just a bad day that day, and it was storming outside, and the wind was blowing, and everything. And they were all waiting to see what he was going to say. And he got up and he said, "You know, we just thank God that every day is not like today." And sometime, brother, you can just say in everything, give thanks. You can just say, "Bless God, I'm glad every day's not like this." Like a little girl one time, she was 8 years old. Her name was Christina. And I saw this on TV. She had cancer. The nervous system was dying. She was shrinking up and dying. And one of the reporters asked her, said, what do you want for your birthday? Beautiful little girl. And she began to smile, beautiful smile. And she says, "Well, I don't know." She said, "I have 2 sticker bushes and a cabbage patch doll. She said, "I guess I already have everything." You know, sometimes we just need to sit back and think what we got and just say in everything, give thanks, and thank God it's not as bad as it could be. There's the scope. There's the situation. In everything, give thanks. And I want to say something else. There's the sacrifice. Look what it says. In everything, give thanks. It doesn't say thanks. It doesn't say mumble and rumble through the thanks. But it said in everything, give thanks. Real sacrifice, real thanksgiving is a sacrifice. You know, the word thanksgiving occurs 30 times in a King James Bible. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus. Thanksgiving occurs 30 times in your King James Bible. And the first time it occurs is in Leviticus chapter 7. And a lot of Bible students, which I adhere to this, they have one of the rules of interpretation is known as the law of first mention. Normally the first time a word appears in the Scripture, it'll define it for the rest of the Scripture. And I think that's true most of the time. I think it's true for this time for sure. Look at Leviticus chapter 7, verse 11. "And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings which he shall offer to the Lord." Watch this. "For he shall offer it for a thanksgiving. He shall offer with a sacrifice of thanksgiving." Verse 13. "Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his leavened bread with a sacrifice of thanksgiving." 8 times in the Bible, it refers to the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Psalm 107 verse 22, it says, verse 21, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." I preach about that. In the next verse, "Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His work." Because a lot of times, brother, thanksgiving is a sacrifice for you to give thanks. Because a lot of times in life, brother, there are things going on that are not thankful. But you know what we have to do? In everything, give thanks. We think of thanksgiving with blessings. We think that's what's connected with thanksgiving. But I did a little study on my Bible, and nowhere in the Bible is the word thanks connected with blessing. Not one time. That's an easy thing to do. Thanksgiving ought to be a sacrifice for you and I. In everything, give thanks. Because many times in life, brethren, I'm going to tell you, we have to do a sacrifice to give thanks. We have to sacrifice our pleasure. We have to sacrifice our comfort. We have to sacrifice the pain. We have to sacrifice our money. We have to sacrifice the comfort, the logic, the reason, the faith, everything. Just fill in the blank, brother. We got to sacrifice it. I mean, you go into a car place for a $49 front end alignment, and they tell you, you owe $876. It's hard to say, "Well, praise the Lord." Do you know what? That's what I said. The guy told me, he said, I said, how much is it going to be? I said, show it to me. He went back and showed it. I said, how much? He said, $876. I said, well, praise the Lord, brother, do it. Say why? I'm glad I got $876 to pay him, number one. Number two, I'm glad he found it. Amen. I believe the guy. In everything, give thanks. I want to say it's a sacrifice sometimes to give thanks. It's not easy. Some situations, back most of the situations, it's not easy, is it, Brother Chris? Here's a thought, a lot of things in life. Miss Debbie, when your knees are hurting and your knees are aching, it's hard to say, well, thank you, Lord. Praise God. Bible said in everything give thanks. I mean, when your pump breaks, like Dot called me this morning, he said, Brother Terry, believe it or not, my pump broke again. I got to try to get it out. You know what I told him? Praise the Lord, Brother Dot. Yep. Praise the Lord. Hey, you might as well. Might as well. And everything give thanks. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Jonah. Everybody will be finding the book of Jonah. Jonah. Turn to Jonah chapter 1. I like old Jonah. Jonah chapter 1 says this, Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. That's a great message right there, Brother Chris. I preached many times about that thing. Come down to verse 15, you know what happened. And they're over there praying their God, getting right with God, throwing everything off the ship, and Jonah's down there asleep. In verse 15, Jonah told him, he tells him, hey, I'm the problem. Verse 15, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. And then the man feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. That's when you know you're having a bad day, Miss Liz. That's when you know you're having a bad day, Miss Debbie. All of a sudden you wake up and you start feeling around you in this slimy place. And if you can feel some teeth along there and dead fish and squid and junk laying all over the place. That's when you know things are not going too good today. There's a book called 66 Years of Engineering by Sir Francis Fox. And it tells about February 1891, the whale ship Star of the East was in the vicinity of Falkland Islands, and they go over there and they harpoon a whale. And the whale is a true story, and the whale flips its tail over, and the guys in the ship fall out of the ship, and they lose two of the men, and they couldn't find two of them, and they killed the whale and brought it on deck. And it said this, when they brought the whale on deck, they noticed when they started cutting open the stomach that something was moving inside, and one of the missing sailors, James Bartley, was inside the stomach. He'd been in there for 18 hours. Said that when he came out, he lost all the hair on his body, and he was blind for the rest of his life. His skin was bleached to an unnatural whiteness. They said for over a month he was a raving lunatic. They had to lock him up. And they said on his grave in Glasgow, it says James Bartley, 1870-1909, a modern day Jonah is what's on his tomb. Said all his skin was bleached off from the gastric juices, Brother Jeff, and they said he was blind after that for a month, Miss Rachel. They locked him up in the captain's quarter, and they said he was a raving lunatic for about a month. He said later on, then when he got that well, he realized what happened, and he just lost his mind, and he went unconscious. Last thing he can remember, he felt that he was inside that well. Jonah was there for 3 days and three nights. Look at Jonah chapter 2. God found a well to swallow Jonah. You say, you believe that? Yeah, I believe that. I don't have no problem with that. Look at Jonah chapter 2, 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. That's a good time to start praying right there, I believe. Amen. I mean, he's at the First Baptist Church of the Whale's Belly, brother. And I'm telling you, Miss Tara, he was having him a prayer meeting right there. Verse 2, and said, I cried the reason of my affliction unto the Lord. He heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I. And I heard as my voice. But thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the sea. I think this is the best prayer in the Bible, by the way. and the floods come past me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I'm cast out of thy sight, and yet I will look toward thy holy temple. The waters come past me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me about, round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains, earth with her bars was about me forever, and yet hast thou brought me up from my corruption, O Lord my God. Then my soul fainted when I remembered the Lord. My prayer came unto thee, and in my holy temple, they that observe lying vanities forsake thy no mercy. Watch this. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I mean, there he is in the belly of the world, this is, and he's down there. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning. He said, Lord, I'm going to sacrifice the voice of thanksgiving, and Lord, just thank you for where I'm at. Look at the next verse. That old well spit him out. When God heard that, he said, okay, boy, I think you graduated from well school now. It's time for you to leave. That's a great verse. That's a great message, by the way. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and he vomited out John on dry land. What did he do? He offered a sacrifice of thanksgiving in the belly of a well. Remember that lady in the septic tank for 3 hours? John was in that well's belly for 3 days and 3 nights. Sacrifice means to give thanks when it don't look so good. Sacrifice means to give thanks, brother, when there's not a whole lot left. You know what I've noticed? You know what I've noticed, Miss Liz? I noticed in the tornadoes and all that, the hurricane, when we sacrifice stuff and lose stuff, we're a lot more thankful. You ever notice that? You ever notice, Miss Samantha, when those tornadoes go through and their houses are torn down and everything's rubble, Brother Chris, they're walking around saying, well, praise God. At least I'm still alive. Thank God He watched over me. Hey, dude, your house is torn up. There's a sacrifice of thanksgiving. A lot of times we're the most thankful when we offer that sacrifice up to the Lord. I heard about a missionary, a preacher was over in Korea years ago. And he was over there visiting one of the missionaries to Korea. And they're real poor over there in Korea. And the missionary was taking this preacher around, showing him the land, showing him the area. He was taking him around a tour of Korea. And he looked over there, that preacher from the States, and he saw a man plowing his field. And rather than a mule, Brother Chris, it was his son that had the ropes on, and he was pulling the plow. And that preacher said to him, he said, man, they must be poor. And that missionary said, oh yeah, they're poor. And the missionary said, well, we were building the church. They had a mule, but they gave their mule to help us build the church. And that preacher said, man, what a sacrifice. He said, oh no, they didn't think it was a sacrifice. They thought it was a blessing that they had a mule to give. A lot of times a sacrifice, brother, it what makes us thanksgiving. There's the sacrifice. There's the scope. There's the situation. Let me show you something else. Romans, turn over to 2 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. It said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There's the significance of giving thanks. Remember Romans chapter 1, verse 21, neither were they thankful. 2 Timothy 3:1, knows this also, in the last days perilous times shall come. Man shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, unthankful is what it says. When we get unthankful and get our eyes off of giving thanks to God, brother, we're in trouble. It's a priority with the Lord. Take your Bible, turn over to Psalms 95. Psalms 95. There's the scope of thanksgiving. In everything give thanks. There's the situation of it. There's the sacrifice. And there's the significance of giving thanks to the Lord. Giving thanks and thanksgiving is very important to the Lord. Look over in Psalm 95:1. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. I like what Miss Tara said this morning about those churches. I don't understand that, Miss Tara. I'm so thankful and so glad God saved me. Bless God, I'm singing with everything I've got. I'm preaching with everything I got. Usually morning when I get up, my wife will tell you, I'm blah, blah, blah. I can't hardly talk because I'm giving you everything I've got. You say, why? Because I've got something that gets me excited. Brother, there's a significance of giving thanks to God. I tell you, I'm so glad God saved my old soul, brought me out of hell, Brother Chris. I've heard Brother Chris's testimony too. I've heard him say, man, when I got saved, that moment I got saved, he said, I found what I was looking for. Didn't have to look no more. This was it. Look at Psalm 100. Psalm 100, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. He has made us, and not we are sins. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Verse 3. Verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him. Turn over to Psalm 69. We're to come before His presence with thanks we've given. We're going to enter into His gates with thanksgiving. There's the significance of giving thanks to the Lord in everything. Give thanks. Look at Psalm 69. You want to please the Lord? You want to magnify the Lord? Psalm 69:30 says this. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. That's how we lift Him up. That's how we magnify Him. Look at the next verse. This also shall please the Lord better than ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. That was the Old Testament sacrifice. God said, I'd rather you magnify me with thanksgiving than laying out all those sacrifices. 2 Corinthians 4:14 in the New Testament, 4:15, for all things of your sakes, that the abundance of grace might through thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. I want to tell you, brother, there's significance of giving thanks to the Lord. Look over 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where we're at. Where we're at. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 5:17, 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 5, the great chapter in the Word of God. It says, pray without ceasing. Look at the next verse. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Look at the next verse. Quench not the Spirit. There, those three go together. Pray without ceasing. If you pray, then in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And quench not the Spirit. Come, brother, if you don't give thanks in everything, you know what you'll do? You'll quench the Spirit of God. Look at that verse 18. The Bible said, and everything give thanks, for this is what? This is what? The will of God.
Yep.
I have people come to me a lot of times, many times, and they'll say, Brother Terry, they'll say, I'm just praying for God's will. I said, I can tell you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerned. Say, what's the will of God for my life? I tell you what the will of God is. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You say, that's not what I meant. I meant, what's the will of God, whether I need to buy this new Cadillac Escalade or this new Cadillac RTS? Which one? That's, we want the easy peasy, don't we? Don't say easy peasy. Well, preacher, I need to know. Oh, I need to know the will of God. Do I get this Remington shotgun or this XYZ shotgun? That's what we look for. But when we flip it over here and it said, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, and everything give thanks, we go, let me try something else here. Let me find another verse. We like the easy peasy. That one's a hardy-tardy, isn't it? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There's a significance of it. Let me show you something else in that verse. I see the situation in. There's a scope in everything. There's a sacrifice, give thanks. There's a significance, for this is the will of God. And then there's the secret. I mean, let's be honest with each other this morning. Let's take our wings off and our halos off, and let's just get down to the nitty-gritty. Let's just be honest with each other. That verse is impossible. That verse, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. That verse is impossible for you and I to do. You say everything, that's what it says. It says in everything, all the pain, all the tears, all the death of a loved one, everything give thanks. Nobody can do that. Jesus over there in Matthew 19 one time, he's talking to them about, he said, it's easier for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle. It's easier for a rich man to go to heaven than a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And that's not a needle of a city. That's a regular needle. Don't you know what they say? They said, who then can be saved? He said, with man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. You know what this verse is, Brother Anthony? And everything give thanks. With man, that's impossible. Well, with God, everything's possible. There's a secret to that verse. You know the Lord's got secrets in His Bible, in the Word of God. I got a message on the secret of the Lord. Well, it says over in Proverbs 25:14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. Proverbs 3:32 says, but His secret is with the righteous. Let me tell you the secret to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Y'all want to hear it? Now listen. I'm just going to whisper so you won't. I don't want everybody to hear this. Here's the secret, Miss Rachel. Listen. In Christ Jesus. Here's the secret, Miss Samantha. That verse. Here's the secret. Now listen, listen. In Christ Jesus. You see, the secret of that verse is those three little magic words. And it said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. There they are. In Christ Jesus, Brother Anthony, I can give thanks for anything. I don't care what I go through, Brother Chris. I don't care how dark it is. If I am in Christ Jesus, I can say like Paul, most gladly, therefore, I will go in infirmities. I take pleasure in reproaches. But when I am weak, He's strong. You see, the secret of that verse is in Christ Jesus. I'm going to tell you, brother, without that, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is absolutely impossible. I'll just tell you right now, if I get away from the Lord, everything bothers me. You do too. Let's be honest. You do too. I mean, somebody turns a TV channel and you're outside the Lord. I mean, it doesn't matter. You got to stay in Christ Jesus. Y'all remember how that verse started off with those two-letter word, in everything? See, it starts all in, and the only way to get in everything is in Christ Jesus. There's the secret of that verse, brethren. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Those three magic words occur 40 times in a King James. But I wish I had time to go into all of them. Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark of the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, there's a significance. You want to be in the will of God? You want God to enter in His presence? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. There's the secret in Christ Jesus. Let me give you one more thing here. And there's the salutation. Look at those last two words. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Concerning you. Concerning you. You know what? A lot of times we'll hear a verse and we'll hear a message and we'll say, boy, that preacher got all over Brother Chris today, didn't he? Yeah, he got on Jeff and Debbie today, man. Hey, we're bleeding all over the place. Yeah, Miss Liz, boy, she is hiding under the pew today. I'll tell you what, when this one, God put His little postscript, Miss Liz, and He said, oh yeah, this one's concerning YOU. Nobody can miss this one, God said. It was so important, God put His salutation, and He signed that thing, Miss Tara. He said, oh yeah, sincerely, this concerns you, my friend. You know what that word salutation means? It means to address. Normally we do. We put it at the beginning. God puts it at the end. We'll say, dear Bob, or dear sir, and it comes from the word salute. That's what it means. It means to address. When you salute somebody, you're giving them your attention, you're addressing. God says, hey, put your attention and salute this verse right here. Because this one's for you. There's a salutation. Because you know what we to do? We all try to wiggle around. Maybe that's a different dispensation. Hey, maybe that's for the Jews over here. Hey, that's for the charismatics of the Southern Baptist. No, this one's for you, folks. God said this one's concerning you. Sometimes we try to wiggle around. This is not one of them you can wiggle around. The Bible said, never think, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, I think sometimes, I don't know if you think this way, but I do a lot, Brother Chris, especially as I got older. I sit back a lot of things and I think, Lord, I wonder what I could have done more for you, Lord. David Cassidy, y'all know, remember him, the teenage idol that Miss Tara was in love with when she was growing up. Ooh! Ooh! Is that one of your idols? David Cassidy. Woo! All the girls. He died last week. You know what his last words were? His daughter said, what a wasted life. What he said? His last words were, what a wasted life. I don't want to waste it. I want to do something for God. Oh, hey, this guy was a teenage idol. He sold over 21 million records. And he got through at the end. He said, what a wasted life. God said, hey, this is concerning you. I'm thinking sometime, man, if I just do more for God, give everything, give thanks in Christ Jesus, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning, I'm thinking, man, I wonder what God could do with me. Fanny Crosby, I think of her a lot. 9,000 hymns. Blind when she was 6 months old. Doctor put salve in her eyes. She got saved when she was 45. All her life she was mad, bitter at that doctor. She got saved, Brother Anthony. She forgave that doctor and she thanked God for being blind. She just said, I never think give thanks for this is the will of God in Christ. And she said, praise the Lord, I thank you, God, I'm blind. And you know what God did? He gave her 9,000 hymns. You know what Fanny Crosby said years later after that? She said, if I wouldn't have forgave that doctor and thanked God for that, she said, God would never gave me one hymn. Man, wouldn't that be a bummer that we couldn't have sing praise Him, to God be the glory, blessed assurance, and near the cross. Just think if she would have let that stay and never gave thanks for it. Maybe God would never open up those hymns. I wonder what He could do for us. If we just say and everything, the situation in, the scope, everything, the sacrifice, give thanks, the significance, for this is the will of God, the secret in Christ Jesus, and in the salutation concerning you. You know, there's going to be dark days in your life, going to be difficult days in your life, but I know one thing, I know in Christ Jesus, there's nothing you can't go through and not give thanks unto the Lord. Here's a book of a good friend of my daughter's wrote. My daughter actually helped her write this book. And she was telling me about it when I was out there the other day. And this is her copy. I took it and I'll send it back to her. It's called Broken But Beautiful. It's a girl named Julia Anna McClure. This young girl, beautiful Christian girl, been married for 4 months. December the 17th in 2011, they were coming back from a wedding. And a car with a drunk driver hit on Miss Samantha doing 99 miles an hour. She said when the paramedics came, it was an Accord, and she was driving, the young lady was driving, her husband was working on the laptop getting his Sunday school lesson ready for the next morning. And she said the rescue personnel came to the car to get the man out of the passenger seat. It said they looked at the girl, her head was hanging out the window, and they called for the coroner, thought she was dead. And as they were getting the man out, it said, because they began to try to get her out because of responsive. She began to moan. The rescuers began to try to work her out. And it goes on for 45 minutes. They tried to get her out, and her breathing kept going down. And they were giving up hope, Miss Liz, that could ever get out of the car. She was squashed. You should see the pictures of this car. It's unbelievable. And she was squashed up in that car, Brother Jeff, and 45 minutes of firemen and the paramedics and the people tried with the jaws of life and everything trying to get her out. They could not get her out. And she was just losing her breath. And she was barely breathing. They were about to give up hope on her. And they finally, after 45 minutes, was able to move one of the seats back a little bit and able to breathe. She came out of that car. She came out of the wreck. She had the clear picture. Well, really, there were significant injuries, especially my left side, and several areas bones were broken and projected out of my skin. In fact, when the rescues arrived at the scene, my left leg had been crumbled like an accordion. My left high thigh bone had exploded out of my leg and was resting straight up by my cheek. My left arm was broken in several places with bones piercing through the skin. Imaging showed at least 14 different bones fractured, and many of them were fractured in several different places. My lower left leg was as well as the kneecap had been crushed. Dr. Lowe, one of the orthopedic doctors, described it as being like a cracker that was somebody crushed between their hands. The lower limb appeared unsalvageable, especially with a gaping hole from the mid-shin to the ankle where bone, tendons, and muscles were obviously exposed. My left arm was in also bad shape. Both thigh bones had been broken. Her pelvis had been crushed on, and my left eye bone was fractured. It was possible I might never see out of my left eye again. Several shards of glass were lodged in my eye, and the left side of my face had been sliced open in several places. Called broken but beautiful. They had to fly her up to UAB. The hospital in Montgomery couldn't handle her. The last chapter is called Broken but Beautiful. She says, perhaps you've been wondering where the title I gave this book came from. I gave it quite a lot of thought and eventually came to land on this title. In my mind, it describes in totality the struggles and resolution of this valley. It encompasses the physical, emotional, and spiritual aspects of this time. Physically, the Lord allowed me to be broken. In fact, He allowed this earthly vessel to be literally shattered into a million pieces, but only because He had a plan. Emotionally, the Lord allowed brokenness. He allowed the pain of no longer being viewed as normal, the frustration of losing that first special year of marriage, the disappointment of losing my youth and no longer being able to run a marathon or play beach volleyball with my friends or climb mountains. He allowed the embarrassment of never being able to go out in public again without people staring at my disgusted scars on my face that covered my left side, and the discouragement of never really feeling beautiful again. Having a bad day. At last, spiritually, the Lord allowed brokenness. He brought me to the point of absolute desperation. I had to trust Him only, and only He could perform the miracles to give me the strength that I needed to reach my dreams. I was forced to grow in my faith because He was my only hope. Brokenness defined me in this trial. It's called broken, but beautiful. However, that was not where the story ended, because God had a bigger plan than a broken, shattered vessel. He began to piece by piece to put back together into a beautiful vessel better needed for His service. Physically, He strengthened when strength was needed, provided the right medical help when help was needed, and gave healing when the timing was perfect. Each day that I place my foot on the ground and take a step, I am a walking example of God's beautiful grace. Emotionally encompassed me with love, peace, and perseverance. He showered me blessings and provided for every need to remind me of His love with His token for good when I needed them most. Spiritually, He grew my faith by showing me all those who were watching how beautiful His beautiful, miraculous grace. He was never failing and always faithful. Beautiful to find God and His grace during this trial. You may be wondering why I use the term beautiful, and simply put, this is why. Beautiful because His grace painted a picture of His love for me. Beautiful because He touched not only my life, but thousands of lives around the world. Beautiful because all along He had a bigger plan than what we got to watch and unfold. Beautiful, but always in the eyes of those who do not know my story, my scars are ugly. To those who know my story, they are a beautiful reminder of God's grace in my life. My beautiful scars are evidence of His significant grace that carried me, and His amazing grace that revealed in me His supernatural strength in day. You know what that girl found out? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. All she went through, broken but beautiful. She said somebody sent her an email, and the email had this poem, and she would use this poem some. It says this: my life is but a weaving between the Lord and me. I may not choose the colors. He knows what they should be. For he can view the pattern upon the upper side, while I can only see it only on this, the underside. Sometimes he weaves in sorrow, which seems so strange to me, but I will trust his judgment and work on faithfully. 'Tis he who fills the shuttle, and he who knows what's best. So I shall weave in earnest and leave to him the rest. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttle cease to fly, shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. The dark threads are as needed in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he is planning. In everything, you say what? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning. My wife just come close a little bit this morning. Just ask you this morning, maybe a few minutes that God spoke.